If you have a financial question for Pega Bruce, you can always call this number 24-7, 1-888-6-ADVICE. You can also email those questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. But right now, as usual, we urge you to call or text our studio line, 651-461-9226. Once again, here's Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor Peg Webb, and the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group, Financial Advisor Bruce Helmer. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Bruce. Good morning, Denny.
Hello, Peg Webb. Hello, Denny Long. Good to be with you, old friend. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. Peg and I, Denny and listeners, it's, you know, we're heading into the spring. I was listening to that weather report. Sounds like there's some nice weather, spring weather ahead of us, no matter where you live right now. And it's the time of year where a lot of people do spring cleaning. We go out in the garage and we get rid of some junk and we sweep the garage floor and we clean, maybe get rid of some stuff in the house as well. And Peg and I today, we're going to talk about spring cleaning your finances, just like kind of decluttering the home. Now might be a really good time for a thorough review of your finances, eliminating inefficiencies, protecting your assets, and make sure that your financial situation, that your money is aligned with your long-term goals and what's really important to you. And Peg, we actually have kind of a laundry list or a step-by-step process of how people might want to try going about doing this. Peg?
You know, it's kind of interesting because when I was preparing for this morning, I looked at the list and I went, oh, I've got a couple things I got to add on my to-do list. You know, you kind of forget
right?
that it's just a good time of year to regroup. And so what we'd like to start with is, and I don't know that this is the best word to start, but it's digitize and organize your financial records. So there's listeners out there that maybe don't like this digitizing. You know, we're still, and I'm a little old fashioned. Bruce probably knows that. I've got my folders and I've got, labels for everything, and it's very well organized. But I have a great compliment person, which is Mike, my husband, because he helps get all my records digitized. So we make a good team. But the first thing you have to do is kind of consolidate all your financial documents, like tax records. We're still working on taxes, right? We've got till mid-April to get those in. But I'm sure when you're pulling those records, it's a good time to just consolidate those documents, bank statements, credit cards, investment summaries. You got insurance policies. You might have some loans out there. But it's just a good time a year anyway, especially with the tax preparation, that you can pull out some of those things. And I already mentioned digitizing, but we had a guest on a couple weeks ago that was all about using the computer and the methods that we have to organize digitally. Well, you have to kind of consider, where am I going to put all these things that are going to be in a good place, not only for yourself, but also for if something happened to you? Is it, do you have somebody that's easily accessible or somebody that knows, here's where all my things are? And you have to be so trusting, right? Because we're putting this all on the computer, but yet we've heard stories on the back end where people passed away suddenly and they have no idea, you know, how to get access to these records. And then I thought this one was a really good one, and I actually put a little heart by my outline because I said, set reminders for important deadlines. I'm all over my calendar. I've got so many to-dos on there, and I rely on that every single day. But things like tax filings, required minimum distributions, insurance policy reviews, and even investment rebalancing, or maybe it's contacting your advisor, you know, just something that's on your calendar that reminds me. Bruce, I got to tell you, I use that calendar as my kind of Bible of every single day what I have to get done. Bruce?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I guess, you know, we're of a similar, you know, generation, or we're about the same age, because I would say a lot of the same things as you, Pig. I still do my record keeping with manila file folders. Everything's labeled. And then with regard, I always tell clients, with regard to statements, I always save 3 years worth. So as I get a new statement, I put that to the front of the manila folder. I take out the one in the back and I shred it. So I've always got 3 years worth. So I don't end up with, you know, piles and piles of documents, you know, some of which are obsolete and I don't really need anymore. But people, I get the question a lot, Peg, where people ask me, should I save this? Do I need to save this? Do I need to save that? So sometimes, you know, just looking at things and consolidating or getting some help if you need it. So you're not saving things that you don't need to save, but you are saving the important things. And the other thing that you hit on that I really liked, and I also am a slave to my calendar and everything's on there. And I like everything on there as far in advance as possible. So I know what's coming up and I can plan accordingly. But you mentioned required minimum distributions. And I think that's really a good one in the first quarter, because we never even know for sure what that dollar amount is right away in the beginning of the year, because it's based on the December 31st value of the previous year. So if someone called me up on January 2nd and said, hey, what's my RMD this year? I don't even know yet. We haven't had a chance to figure it out, but we do later on in the first quarter. So the RMD, for people that have to take it, it's a great time to look at that if you haven't done so by now. Your advisor or you can determine that number based on the December 31st value of last year. So I really like that one. That one jumped out at me. But yeah, I'm just like you. My technological consultant is my wife, Pamela, and she helps digitize things because I don't. But I do a pretty good job of old-fashioned saving hard copies. Peg, what's the second thing on the list?
Yeah, the second thing is updating and streamlining your budget. Now, usually we talk about this right at the beginning of the year. You know, check your budget. We classify it as a one-time exercise. But it can be something that you can do right now. If it's, you know, it's tax preparation, and I think it gets people to look deeper into what else should I be doing. So a budget, I'm a big budget person. So just to maybe in the springtime here, review your income and expenses. How is it going if you had your financial goals already written in the beginning of the year? It's a good time to check in. When you're looking at the cost of things, and I believe me, I can't even believe, I just love these red cherries, you know, with the little stem on them. And I get to the checkout and it was $11.50 for this bag of cherry. I'm like, what in the world? But so things are costing so much more. So it's a good time if you have a budget to review the budget and see if there's something on there that you really don't need. Like a lot of these TV subscriptions, and I subscribe to a lot of things that give me daily health tips or fitness tips or that kind of thing. And I don't know that I need 10 of them, Bruce. I mean, I'm just a person that just loves to have those kinds of things. But when you look at the cost of them, it's unbelievable. Then increase your savings and investments. Well, that's only if you're not on track, right? People like to save within their employer. Make sure that you are getting the percentage that you want in your 401k through your work. And if you're trying to do it on your own, just check and see if you're on track. And then lastly, it's the payments that you have and the loans that you have out there. Just double check, triple check what the interest rate is, because sometimes you're lured into an interest rate and it looks attractive, but at some point down the road, they adjust it. That's what I mean by luring you in to maybe take that credit card, and then they raise the percentage for your debt along the way. So it's a good time to check for that. And then I already mentioned inflation. We talk about that a lot because the costs of everything are rising. And just make sure that you have, you know, I think it's a good idea just to look at your budget now because of things costing more. I feel like it's already changed since January 1st to what things are costing today. Bruce?
Peg, I like what you did there, because we have the basic bullet point to update and streamline your budget. But then you had all those little subcategories, and they're all kind of interrelated, right? You talked about inflation. And so if your budget is you spend, I don't know, $500 a month on groceries, you have to look at your budget and say, can I still get the items, including Peg's cherries, the things that I like to buy, can I still get that for $500? Or is it $600 now? And do I have to change what I buy at the grocery store? Or do I have to account for the fact that that cost in my budget has gone up? And so, and all those things are kind of related, right? Because if I can reduce my expenses, that you mentioned, Peg, increasing savings and investments. Well, if I can reduce my cost of living, maybe that savings or that cost reduction can be used to for investments for my future, or enhanced lifestyle, or a combination of both. But one of the things when we talk about budgeting, helping somebody create their own budget is not something that I do for a client per se, because I tell people, I don't want to dictate to you what you can and can't spend money on. That has to be, you know, based on your lifestyle choice, your core values and whatnot. But what I can do is maybe serve as a consultant to see, is there waste there that you can eliminate? And Peg, you already gave some examples. It might be spending too much on various TV channels that you don't need and you don't watch anyway. Excuse me. Another one that I do see a lot is designer coffee. How many people stop at a coffee shop every day for a $5 coffee, and they could have it in the office for free or make it at home, you know, for pennies on the dollar? How many people are paying memberships to health clubs that they don't go to anymore? So there may be a lot of waste in your budget. And then specifically as financial advisors, we can hone in on certain things. And Peg, you hit on one of them, debt restructuring. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've been able to help a client by looking at what they're paying either on a credit card or on their mortgage and say, hey, have you considered doing a refinance? The rate you're paying right now is a lot higher than it has to be. And if we can save you $100, $200, $300 a month because of more efficiency on your debt, or there's oftentimes I've been able to help people reduce their costs for insurance, property and casualty, their car and homeowners insurance. Even though we don't underwrite that at Wealth Enhancement Group, we have strategic partners that we can send our clients to and say, hey, why don't you go get a quote from somebody else? That seems like it's a lot. Or how often are we able to help clients reduce their tax liability? All these ways, taxes, insurance, debt restructuring, if we can reduce your cost of living and give that money back to you, that's money that can be used for saving and investment if you feel like you're not saving as much as you would like to. So, again, I don't help people do a budget per se, but I often can help them find ways where they can make things more efficient, and then that money's back in their pocket to do something more productive with. Peg?
I love that, Bruce. I love that. The next thing is, you know, we offer our clients an annual review at a minimum, and we can't do all the reviews in springtime, right? We're talking about the springtime and a spring cleanup for your finances. But what we do, and you can do it any time of year, but I like that it would be in the first quarter for some of your listeners today, is to conduct a comprehensive financial review, like a periodic review that you look at your financial strategy. If it aligns, you know, what the market conditions are, a lot of times the market doesn't necessarily drive, you know, different strategies, but just being aware, and then personal circumstances, the what ifs, what happened, guess what happened to me? I get those calls often over the decades. Guess what happened to me? Well, the first thing I would do is the investment portfolio. You know, look at your asset allocation if it aligns with your risk tolerance. Now, I have to say, we've been talking a lot about either staying the course or not changing things because of the rocky stock market that we have. The good news is last week it was up. So, and it's kind of surprising that international is up double digits this year. So we talk a lot about, you know, asset allocation and are you in the right things, and is your risk tolerance the same? Do you have some what ifs in your life that maybe you need to change your allocation? Then also for taxable accounts, it's easy It's easy for IRAs and 401ks to make changes and not have a tax consequence. But if you do have savings outside of those plans, then if you do make some changes, you might have some capital gains, or you may have some losses and already document that for your next year tax return. One that we talked about when we had that show back in early February, avoiding tax-related cybercrime, we talked about credit scores, credit reporting, make sure that you feel like those reports are accurate. If they aren't, then you should take the time, spring cleanup, dispute any inaccuracies, and then, you know, check your credit score. Today, Bruce, we get a lot of monitoring through credit cards, I feel like, because I'm always getting posted, hey, your credit went up, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that that number is reflecting if there's something wrong on my credit report or something that's outside of what it should be. So we like people to go to annualcreditreport.com to just check that out. And then, you know, the other things in our reviews that we do are taxes. Taxes matter in everything you do, and we work on the tax-related items all year long. So just look at some of the simple things, though, are looking at the withholding within your work plan, taking advantage of, like, that 401k through work, making sure that you're using some of the tax-advantaged opportunities. And that may mean not all tax-deferred. You know, maybe you do want to. A lot of companies today are offering Roth IRAs the ability to put money in there before tax, but then it earns tax-free if you follow all the rules there. And then lastly, your estate planning will. These are the ones, Bruce, that people normally don't want to talk about because it's talking about you leaving this earth. And that's a difficult subject to have, but hopefully you have all those documents in place. But if something dramatic has happened in your life, then you're going to want to review those in springtime is a good time. Bruce?
Yeah, again, I like everything you said. The only thing I want to jump on a little bit deeper, I like what you talked about, you know, review your investment portfolio. And maybe you do want to make some changes. Maybe you want to do some rebalancing. But rarely, Peg, is that going to be that decision driven by something going on in the world right now, the market's going down or the market's going up. If your plan made sense, 4 weeks ago, and now the market retracted a little bit, it does not make sense now because the market retracted. But there might be other reasons to make adjustments. You've had a change in income. You got a promotion. You lost your job. You retired. There's a lot of reasons why we might want to make alterations to your asset allocation, but rarely is it because of what's going on in the world today. We generally don't let those things cause, you know, too much euphoria or too much fear, and we try to talk clients down from that. In fact, my clients are pretty well coached in this recent retraction that we've gone through. I've had very little, you know, calls or outreach from nervous clients. They've actually been really good, and it's years, hopefully, of talking about that. The other thing I wanted to hit on when you mentioned estate planning and we mentioned wills and trusts and whatnot, but the other one is beneficiary designations. I've run across so many people in my career, Peg, that either don't have beneficiaries on all their accounts and they don't know it. They think they do, and I tell them to review it and they find out they don't. Or they do have a beneficiary, but it's not who they want it to be. So the spring is a great time to check all your accounts and make sure, A, yes, I do have a beneficiary, and B, it's who I want it to be. All right, Peg, I think we've got one more key point here before we go to break.
Yeah, just under the comprehensive financial review, it's retirement readiness. So if you're within, 10 years or less of retiring, one of the things that we like to coach people on is to go into Social Security benefits and go see, make sure that you credited all the years that you were working and the numbers look right, and then have a projected retirement income plan. Like, you know, start to look in the future. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it if you're 15 years away from retiring, but 10 years or less, it is a good time to say, okay, how much money am I going to need? I would say, Bruce, it's more of a comprehensive financial plan at that point, and really starting as early as you can to prepare for that retirement date. And you can't take the current economics into consideration as much as maybe you'd want to, but we would highly recommend that you get help in creating that financial plan. Bruce?
Yeah, I'm glad you added that one. I had missed that bullet point on the outline. So, Danny, I think we're almost due for a break. Let's do this. When we come back after the break, Peg and I will finish up our discussion on spring cleaning your financials. And then we definitely want to get listeners involved with calls and or texts and take as many questions as we can in the second half of the show also. Danny?
Very good, Bruce. I'll let the folks know how we can do that. We urge you to call or text right now, in fact, 651-461-9226. We're lining up phone calls and text messages for Peg and Bruce. 651-461-9226. Either call or text. 651-461-9226. We'll be back with more of your money. If you happen to have a financial question for Peg or Bruce, you can call this number, keep in mind, 24/7, 888-6-ADVICE. You can also email those questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. But we urge you to call or text right now during the show. Our studio line is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Once again, here's Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor Peg Webb and the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group, Financial Advisor Bruce Helmer.
Thank you, Danny Long. Listeners, thank you for staying with us. If you joined us late, Peg and I today have been talking about spring cleaning your personal finances. Just like decluttering your home in the spring, which many of us do, it might be a good time for a thorough review of your personal financial situation, help you eliminate inefficiencies, protect assets, align your money with your long-term goals and your core values. We had a step-by-step approach on how you go about doing this. We talked about organizing and perhaps digitizing your financial records. Consolidate the documents you need. Get rid of documents you don't need. If you're technologically inclined, and Peg and I admitted we both need help with that, then you can get it on your computer. I still use manila file folders, since I think Peg does too. But whatever your system is, have access to it, know where to find your records. And then we talked about setting reminders for important deadlines, like required minimum distributions and insurance policy premiums and so forth. And make sure you have a backup to where this information, a safe or a safe place to put it, and make sure your technology secure. So that was number one, organize and digitize financial records. Number two, we talked about updating and streamlining your budget, eliminating unnecessary expenses, review your expenses, consider inflation that things might be costing more. If you can find excess capital, and sometimes a good financial advisor can help you do that, maybe it gives you more investable income for the future. Number three, we talked about conducting a comprehensive financial review. Review your investment portfolio. Check your credit score. Are you being as tax efficient as you can? What about estate planning documents, wills, trusts, and beneficiary designations? Do your investments have a named beneficiary? And is it who you want it to be? And then it's never too early to start thinking about retirement. I don't care if you're only in your 30s, putting away money for your future, whether it's in a 401k or some other type of retirement plan, look at are you being efficient? Are you putting away money on a pre-tax basis? Are you using Roth? It's never too early to start thinking about what we call retirement readiness, and particularly if you're in the 10-year home stretch before you plan to retire, that becomes really important. Peg, those are the three things and the subcategories that we got to. We did not get to number four. We have one more, and then we'll get the listeners' questions. Peg?
Yeah. I think this is really important. And once again, we had a show February 9th of this year called Tips for Avoiding Tax-Related Cybercrime. But what that show was about is making you aware of securing and protecting your financial information. Fraud and cyber threats, threats are increasing. As we know, we see that on the news all the time. And so it's so important that you strengthen your passwords and you have, you know, a method of multi-factor identity of yourself, you know, that you can get into your accounts. I know I have to tell you, I'm not the best at creating all that, but I understand how important it is. And I already mentioned early in the show that I happen to be married to a techie person. So that's the person that keeps me safe too. Monitor your accounts from any fraudulent activities. Once again, here's some setting up account alerts to detect if anybody unauthorized happened to go in. I have so many clients and friends right now asking me if they have to pay this toll when they're driving through these states. They're getting texts and email that said, hey, you owe $25.23. You went through a toll in Arizona or something. And it's just those kinds of things tempt people to say, oh, that's not that much. I'm just going to send the money in. I must have been there. Or maybe it was my son or daughter that was there. Don't do it. What I do is if I get anything like that, I just totally ignore it and they will go away. If somebody really wants my money because I went through a toll or a small tax payment or I owe something on my credit card, I am not going to respond through the internet or my email. I'm going to wait to get a formal letter in the mail because I feel like that actually is more real than something that you're just getting texted or in an email. Freeze your credit or lock your credit. My husband and I actually just did that. We called the three, you know, primary credit card company and the bureaus, you know, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion, and just said we're not in the borrowing right now mode. So why would we not freeze it? And then we could always turn it back on if we need to. And then I think the biggest thing is this phishing scams. I just did a continuing education online, and it was a four-hour course about phishing and, you know, how to recognize if there's something that looks off to you. And 4 hours is a long time, but it gives me credit for my licenses and things. And it actually was really good. It was so up to date, and it just kind of taught me again and reminded me that, you know, communication with financial institutions, it's best if you do use some direct channels. If anything seems suspicious, you know, do not click, do not, you know, maybe you just wait. And if it's something to do with your accounts, say at Wealth Enhancement Group, then you would want to pick up the phone and talk to your advisor. Let's be old fashioned again, where you communicate. And picking up the phone and calling is okay. And then lastly, your insurance coverage. Is your home, auto, health, disability, long-term care needs, is that all up to date? Do you have an umbrella policy? You know, one that actually is an extra policy for additional liability protection. And so that's also a good one that you should review. And these are all important. The once again, that show, I wanted to tell the listeners, Bruce, that wealthenhancement.com, if you go to our website, and if you go to the link that says Your Money Radio Show, we have all the recent shows listed. You have to scroll down a little bit, and it's got the February 9th tips for avoiding tax-related cybercrime, and we had that guest on that day, which was just spectacular. That would be one that you'd want to listen to. It's only 43 minutes. So much good information about protecting yourself. Bruce?
Yeah, well, that was a great job, Peg. I don't even think I can add anything. I guess the only thing I'll add is I was chuckling to myself. You mentioned the toll road thing because I just got one of those yesterday. And I guess the bottom line is anything like that, if you get a text and it's about sending somebody money, almost assuredly, 99.999%, the organization, if it's genuine, they're not going to contact you in a text. So delete it. Don't. I'm amazed how many people fall prey to that. To me, it seems kind of obvious, but I guess you can't mention it too often because it's apparently working with a lot of people. So nobody that wants that you legitimately owe money to is probably going to ask for it in a text. You can delete that. Peg, any other final thoughts or key takeaways for listeners, or should we go to questions?
Yeah, well, the only thing I'd say is that we talked about spring cleaning, but as like kind of a one-time event, but it's an ongoing process. You know, this is just a good reminder for everyone to take advantage of some of these tips and things that we feel are important for kind of a cleanup for the springtime, but it has to be ongoing to stay accurate, Bruce.
Yeah, and then also you mentioned, if they want to hear, people want to hear old shows, you can go to wealthenhancement.com/yourmoney and pick your show. We also have some help out there with the spring cleaning process. We have it's called Where's My Stuff Worksheet. I think you can go to our website, wealthenhancement.com, and download that. It's a pretty good tool to serve as a reminder for the stuff and the things that you should be doing as you go through your spring cleaning. So again, wealthenhancement.com, Where's My Stuff Worksheet. Anything else, Peg, or before we go to listeners?
Let's get listeners involved.
Denny?
All right. Very good. Yes, the first comment came in, kind of goes along with your spring cleaning comments. Texter says, I scanned and shredded all bank, credit card, and brokerage statements years ago. I do back up my computer daily, though, since I went paperless. That was our first comment. But the first question, the texter wants your opinion. Do you think that stock indices, are they artificially higher because they drop or delist stocks that have failed?
Oh, wow, what an interesting question. I don't know that we've ever had that before. So, Peg, the accuracy of the index, and I'll add to the texter's question, you know, companies can drop off if they fail, but not only if they fail, but for instance, on the Dow, it's the 30 largest domestic companies, and company sizes can change. And so a company that maybe didn't used to be on the Dow because they weren't big enough could be added, or a company that was on the Dow either didn't grow as fast as other companies or it shrunk and it's not on there anymore. And the same is true of the S&P 500 and other indexes. So the question, I think, really the broader question is, you know, what is really the accuracy of the indexes? And Peg, I know you'll give a better answer than I am of teeing up the question for you, but I know we talk to clients all the time about, if you look at the S&P 500 index and you look at the return, well, most of that return is driven by half a dozen stocks, 490 some of them. I don't want to say they don't matter, but the index is really driven by a handful of big companies. So how would you respond to the texter?
Yeah, I personally really rely on our investment team, which is 50 plus people today. And I'm very aware of the fact that that companies drop off the S&P 500. How that affects it, I personally think that it's minimal, but I'm not an expert at that, Bruce. And I would think if it's 500 and they, you know, five of them dropped off, I know there was a list at the end of the year of kind of recapping about what companies fell off. And then there was some additional companies that went on. When I think about the 500 stocks in the S&P 500 and the percentage that they're the weight, you know, we still talk about those really big, magnificent seven, you know, the tech companies that carry a lot of the weight. So I feel like a lot of the ones that drop off are kind of a smaller type company. And then I do believe that they're replaced eventually. So, but not an expert on it, Bruce.
Well, I agree with what you said. And yes, I also really rely on our investment management team. That's not what you and I do on a daily basis, right? We're not doing market analysis. We're talking to clients. We're helping them establish goals. We're talking about core values. We're talking about diversification and where should you save and how do we find more money and, you know, all these things that we do as comprehensive planners, of which portfolio management or investments is a small part of it. But we have a team of people that, you know, that's all they do is do that research and analysis. But the other thing I would add to what you said is, it's not that the value of the index is irrelevant, because it does give you some indication of whether markets are doing well or poorly. But the value of an index, our clients are never, you know, if someone says, well, the Dow was up 500 or down 500, we don't have any clients that have all their money in the Dow. The Dow is 30 companies, domestic large cap American companies. Our portfolios generally have a lot more diversification. Smaller companies, global companies that aren't just domiciled in the United States, other asset classes besides stocks, bonds, real estate, commodities, gold and silver, and other precious metals. So I don't want to say it's irrelevant to look at that number of the Dow or the S&P or the, you know, what we hear on the news every day, but none of our clients are really invested just in that. It goes a lot deeper than that. And so people can, I think, can get too hung up on that. What is the Dow or what is the S&P? Danny?
Here's another question via text. In January, I put $7,700 in a traditional IRA for 2024. Now, my tax preparer said I can't deduct that contribution because my single filing income was too high to qualify. My question is, texter says, is can I transfer that $7,700 to a Roth IRA since I'm not getting a tax break, or take it back out of the IRA?
So, Peg, again, just to kind of tee it up, somebody contributed, and then they found out that their income was such that they couldn't contribute as much as they thought they could. So kind of what options would they have now, and does anything jump out at you as an obvious best choice?
That's actually a great question. You can actually recharacterize. I don't know if that's the right word, but you can change what you, I know you wanted it to be tax deferred, but yet you could, now you have to look and see if you qualify for a Roth, or what some clients do is they do it's still an IRA, but it's a non-deductible IRA. Well, what does that mean? You could claim that $7,700 as an IRA deposit, and then it will grow tax deferred, the earnings. You won't get any deduction for it now. I tend to favor, you know, if you qualify for a Roth IRA, and I'm kind of surprised. Well, I guess I'm not. CPAs or tax people have to do so many tax returns in the first, you know, three and a half months of the year that they don't have time anymore to help, you know, say, okay, well, now that that's happened, here's the things that you can do. So I would go to the institution that you're working with or your financial advisor, and they'll be able to, I call it, recharacterize what type of IRA that you want to be using for 2024. Bruce?
Yeah, I agree. And it's not uncommon that that happens. And there are a variety of things that you can do in terms of what is the best thing you can do. That's where it gets a little tricky. And you might want to, like Peg said, talk to your tax preparer and or if you have a financial advisor. Or if you don't, it might be a good first question to ask if you're considering hiring a financial advisor to help you with that specific issue. But, I mean, it's a nice problem to have. I'd rather Peg somebody put in too much than not enough. But the first thing they said in the text that I can't do a traditional IRA, can I do a Roth? Chances are, I'm going to guess, that if they're not eligible for the traditional IRA because of their income, they're also going to be excluded from contributing to a Roth, because they do phase out eligibility if you make too much money. But again, as you mentioned, it's not the end of the world if you just end up contributing to a non-deductible IRA. It's still, whether you get a tax savings in the year that you make the contribution or not, it's still certainly better to save money and invest money than not. So it's an issue, and it probably needs some attention, but it's certainly not the end of the world, and there is a solution. It's just a question of what's the best thing to do. Denny, I think we have time for at least one more.
Let's try this one. Texter says, should you add a TOD deed, transfer on death deed, to your home if you live in Minnesota? What does Wealth Enhancement recommend?
So, Peg, the transfer on death deed, TODD, is a relatively new concept that we see a lot more now than you and I did, you know, a decade ago doing what we do.
Yeah, what's really nice in Minnesota is they allow, depending on what county you live in, they allow a transfer on death on homes now. And so it's just a form that you fill out with them. And the reason I kind of like that is if you don't have a complex estate plan, like you don't have a glorified living trust, or you don't have, you know, you just don't have a lot of reason to do a complicated will, then this is an easy, easy way to get a transfer on death on the home that you live in. Once again, that's probably new within the last 3 to 5 years. So check with your county to see if it's available, because I do like that idea of doing it if you don't have a complex estate plan anyway. It's just an easy way. Bruce?
Yeah, and Denny, we probably aren't going to have time to squeeze in another question, so I'll add just a little bit to this one. Peg, I think some listeners might be familiar with the concept life estate. And the transfer on death deed, or the TODD, I think for all intents and purposes has made life estates obsolete. But a lot of people, you know, of a certain generation listening right now might have heard that concept, or they might have a life estate. But I don't know that any attorney today with the possibility of using a transfer on death deed would ever use a life estate anymore. But some people might think of those things synonymously, transfer on death deed or a life estate. And again, I know, Danny, we've got less than a minute left, so I don't want to try to force in another question, but we apologize that we didn't leave as much time as I thought we would for questions this week. We'll try to make sure we give a little more time next week. So I think that's all we have time for today, sir.
I think it is, and we urge our folks to join us again next week for when Peg and Bruce return. But let me give you a couple of phone numbers if you think of a financial question. In the meantime, we have a 24/7 phone number, and you can leave, of course, your recording, your financial question, and then we'll get to it. 888-6-ADVICE. Of course, you can always email those questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Well, we do hope you join us again next week here on 830 WCCO with more of Your Money.